With the trade deadline coming up, a lot of Ravens fans been wondering what type of player the Baltimore Ravens should acquire. There have been some people that saying, hey, we need to get a wide receiver, a true X jump ball, big body wide receiver to help complement our guys and help out Lamar Jackson even more and help elevate this offense and take them to even higher heights than they already been getting. Then there's other people that have been saying, no, we don't need no help on the offensive side of the ball. We need to invest even more into this defense. We need to get another cornerback. They've been saying we need help in the secondary. There's been other people saying, not necessarily cornerback, but we need to make some big improvements to our safety play. We need to go get us a new safety. And then there's been other people saying, well, no, the secondary, they're cool, but what's really going to help the secondary out is if we get a pass rusher, an edge guy, to really help put pressure on those quarterbacks, because we just simply have not been able to get pressure on anybody recently or consistently. It's been bad. And I get every single argument that Ravens fans have been making. I'm with you on all of it. If we could get everything, then I would certainly be more than willing to do that. But a lot of Ravens fans feel like it can only be one. This is where I have to push back. Because today, it wasn't no groundbreaking move. It wasn't no earth-shattering move that the Kansas City Chiefs made. But today, in my opinion, the Kansas City Chiefs, they sent a message. Now, they were not sending a message to the Baltimore Ravens, but I believe the Baltimore Ravens should take it as a message and take it as a wake-up call and be like, hold up, it doesn't have to be just one. We could make trades for actually two players, or possibly more. Hey, Ravens, if you want to go crazy, go, no problem, but it doesn't just have to be one. And I think a lot of Ravens fans get caught up with the way that the Baltimore Ravens have done things, because the Baltimore Ravens, the way that they condition you is to believe that, especially when it comes to free agency, when it comes to trades, when it comes to stuff like that, roster movement and personnel, that you can only do so much. And technically you can, but it's all about what you're willing to do. And see, with the Baltimore Ravens, when it's come to the trade deadline, they usually make a move. But this year, especially after last year, you were so close and you lost a lot. You lost a whole lot. But hey, you're sitting at 5-3 overall, and that's pretty good, especially with everything that you lost, and especially where your defense has been playing. To be 5-3, whew, I mean, if we looked at the defensive numbers, because right now the Ravens are last in pass defense. The Ravens are last in pass touchdowns given up. And the Ravens are last in 15 air yard completion. So when the ball goes 15 or more yards, they're last in giving those up. So that pass defense is rough. But if you would have told me that they would be last in all of that stuff and be sitting at 5-3 right now, I'd be like, oh, wow, that offense must be outstanding. They must be just outscoring everybody. And yeah, that's what they've had to do. But anyway, the Chiefs, they are not 5-3. The Chiefs are undefeated. They have not lost a single game this year. Not a single one. Now, there have been some little funny business going on here, but the Chiefs bottom line, they have not lost a single game this year. But where I say the Baltimore Ravens really got to take this as a message from the Chiefs, you look at what they're doing and look at what they've been willing to do. Despite not having lost a game, they're still like, you know what? We got some issues at wide receiver. We got some problems there, even though they haven't lost a game. And some people could look at it like, are the issues really that big if they haven't lost a game because of them? Because we're still undefeated. They could look at it like that. But the Chiefs are like, nope, we're not good enough. We're not good enough. The Chiefs are like, you know what? We got a Chris Jones. We got a George Karloftis, our pass rush. You know what? Let's try to make them just a little bit better, a little bit. So we're going to trade for a former Michigan edge rusher, second round pick, who was a healthy scratch in yesterday's games. Oh my goodness, that sounds like a Baltimore Raven, but it wasn't. It was Josh Uche. So they traded for him today. And again, like I said, it was not no groundbreaking, earth shattering move that the Chiefs made with that. But just last week, they traded for DeAndre Hopkins. So the Chiefs have been very active on the trade market, despite being a team that has not lost a single game, despite being a team that, when you look, oh, what team won the Super Bowl last year? Couldn't be the Chiefs, not with all the moves that they're making. Yes, it was the Kansas City Chiefs. What team has won three Super Bowls over the past couple of years? Oh, it's the, it can't be the Kansas City Chiefs. No, not, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. The, when you ask anybody, what team has the best head coach in the league? Who would they say? 9 times out of 10, if they're being honest, 9 times out of 10, people say Andy Reid. And his success speaks for itself. It really does. And with Andy Reid, we see that the Chiefs, they do a good job of getting the most out of a lot of their players. I mean, you look at their offense. You look at their wide receivers right now. Look at their wide receivers from even last year. But what right now, you think, oh, even before DeAndre Hopkins, like, they solid. It's like Xavier Worthy, he's been doing this thing. Rashee Rice is out. Hollywood is out. Well, they got McCole Harbin. So you think, oh, okay, well, ain't nothing too crazy there. But the Chiefs, they still been winning. You look at their defense. Now they do got Chris Jones. They got George Kalafdi. They got Trent McDuffie. Bolton is a baller, man. That boy can play. But anyway, their defense overall, they got some really good players here and there. But overall, it's like, oh, that's it. But their defense be balling. So Andy Reid, he be doing this thing. I know they got, who is it, Steve Spagnuolo as their defensive coordinator, I believe. But he be doing this thing as well. So the Chiefs, their coaching staff, they do such a great job of getting the most out of their players. You could think, hey, the Chiefs, their coaching staff, they're already getting the most out of their personnel. They're good. But the Chiefs said, no, that's not enough. That's the message that I want the Baltimore Ravens to get, that it's not enough. What we have now is not enough, and we can always look for ways to get better. Now, I know you can't make every single trade in the world. You cannot get every single player. And I get it that there also has to be balance, too. Because you're not going to give a first-round pick for this player and another first-round pick from the following year for another player. Like, you're not going to do that. I get that. But find ways to make your team better. Address it, please, because the Super Bowl window is not necessarily closing, but you done missed out on some real good chances. Real good chances. Now, it hasn't all been due to roster, because the way that these Baltimore 2019 and 2023, those were some of the Baltimore Ravens' biggest chances. And what did they do? No, you already know what they did. And that was more coaching than anything. But if you see an opportunity to get even stronger as a team, you do it. You take that opportunity. If the Ravens weren't about getting even stronger as a team, what would Derrick Henry even be doing here? Why would he even be a Baltimore Raven? Ravens already knew how to run the ball. But they said, no. Let's go get somebody, a Hall of Famer at the running back position, at a position where we are very strong at, where we know how to run the ball. We've been doing it for years. That's been our thing. But let's go get a Hall of Famer to make us even better. So we need the Baltimore Ravens. They need to have that mindset to where we can get even better. Now, I know as Ravens fans, after that loss to the Browns, we've been going through it. But if you look good while you're going through it, maybe it'll help you feel good or even gooder. And Gooder just so happens to be the sponsor of this video. With Gooder, you can find sunnies like these, or even these, starting at just $25 a pair. They're both lightweight and comfortable. There's no slip and no bounce. And they're designed for more chill stuff like everyday wear. Or if you want to get more active with them, you want to go running or go on hikes, they're good for everything. And since they're so affordable, you don't have to worry about breaking them or losing them or anything like that. You can just get a pair for every occasion. So if you need a new pair of sunnies, Gooder is giving Team Keep It Clean listeners free shipping. So you can go to gooder.com/engraven, use code engraven for free shipping. Gooder offers a 30-day money-back guarantee and 100% satisfaction. Again, that's gooder.com/engraven, and Gooder is spelled GOODR.com/engraven. Use code engraven for free shipping. So as we draw closer to that trade deadline, we'll see exactly what EDC and the Baltimore Ravens got up their sleeve. We are all looking forward to it. Now, we have reached my favorite part of these videos, where we get to feature your questions. And boy, oh boy, like I always say, after the Ravens win, when the Ravens winning, we still be getting a good amount of questions. But oh, when they lose, my email flooded every single time. In today's video, we're going to get to questions from our Team Keep It Clean patrons. If y'all would like to become a Team Keep It Clean patron, you can go to patreon.com/engravenvids. If you don't want to, that's fine, and you want to still have your question featured, you can send me an email at teamkeepitclean@gmail.com. Now, got to give a special shout out to the newest Team Keep It Clean patron, our guy, George. So, George, appreciate you becoming a Team Keep It Clean patron, my friend, and let's get into his question. He said, Why are the Ravens so bent on getting more offensive players? Defense wins games. Our defense is so terrible. I'm sorry, but we should have made Mike McDonald the head coach and gave John Harbaugh an office job. Oh, easier said than done, my friend, because John Harbaugh, he wasn't going nowhere. John Harbaugh ain't want to retire. John Harbaugh ain't want to stop head coaching. So John Harbaugh is still the head coach. And we know with John Harbaugh, he's only going out on his own terms. I know some Ravens fans say, oh, he should, but John Harbaugh will probably never get fired from the Baltimore Ravens. Never. Because they're family. They're family. So with Mike McDonald, there was nothing else for him to do with the Baltimore Ravens. Because he was already a defensive coordinator. The next highest thing is a head coach. I mean, you could add assistant head coach as a title and get a little extra money maybe, but that's it. Ain't no higher than that. And Seattle Seahawks, they needed a head coach, and boom, they end up getting him. So, yeah, Mike McDonald, thinking about him as a head coach, we think about him like, man, it would have been an easy transition. All the players already liked him. He had a really nice defense. He could have kept calling the defense, and then he could have had somebody else take over for offense. Todd Monken. So Todd Monken might have stayed offensive coordinator. Oh, man, it could have been sweet. But we knew it was never going to happen. Next question came from my guy, Devin. He said, Derrick Henry, less than 20 carries once again. Pass defense. Well, let's stick with that. It's not, in my opinion, it's not always the number of carries, but if you see Derrick Henry and he gets absent from a game and like Raven, like really like not using him at all, especially when they have opportunities to use him, because they were never down by more than a score yesterday. They were always in the game, literally through the entire game. So it wasn't like it was a situation where Derrick Henry just needed to be removed from the game completely. No, they always had opportunities. So he could have been a lot more involved in the game for sure. So it's Ravens, they could be tricky. Anyway, he also said pass defense was terrible and at least 5 to 6 interceptions dropped. You want to hear a funny stat? I guess it ain't so funny when you think about it. This stat came from Ian Ortiz, gave him a nice reminder. It said the Ravens were charged with 3 dropped interceptions against the Browns in week 8. Was it only 3? I thought it was 4. Kyle Hamilton. I thought Eddie Jackson had like 3. He had. Anyway, whatever. But said that they were charged with 3 drop interceptions against the Browns in week 8. Says the only other instance of a defense dropping at least 3 interceptions in one game was the Ravens against the Bills in week 4. Ha ha, yeah. So this ain't nothing new for the Baltimore Ravens. This is what we do, baby. We drop picks. It says the Ravens have 8 drop interceptions on the season. No other defense has more than 5. Wow. Those are some numbers for you. Anyway, he also said, my guy Devin, he said, I just don't understand how Eddie Jackson is still on the team. We knew being down Nate Wiggins and Marlon Humphrey was going to make the pass defense worse, but that doesn't justify all those missed interceptions. Will it justify that? That's why he don't play wide receiver? Next question came from my guy Derek. He said, wow, Engraven, we always talk about the Chiefs, Steelers giving the Ravens a fit, but it's the Browns. Man, we only swept them once in the Lamar era, and that was in 2020. Most times we split with them. Why aren't we talking about that? 3-3 in the division. We sweep Cincy and we get one win from Cleveland and we lose to Pittsburgh. It just happens. That's division football for you, baby. That's it. That's division football. And yeah, it's unfortunate, but these games, they could be wacky sometimes. We saw last year when the Baltimore Ravens, they beat DTR when he just found out like a couple hours before the game that he was going to be starting for the Browns. Ravens, we don't care about that. They beat up on him. Then in that last game, Deshaun Watson, he played in the whole game. And then I think in the second half, he didn't miss a single pass. And he was playing with like not a broken arm. Was it a broken collarbone? It was a broken something. And he finished the game, beat the Ravens, and then went on injury reserve. I said, really, man? Really? So it's a division game, man. With the division games, despite what the records are, this is a team that you play at least 2 times a season, sometimes potentially 3, but you play them at least 2 times a year. They know you. You know them. These games, they get tricky. Next question came from my guy, Keontae. He said, I'm honestly not disappointed in the game. You not? Now, I would say I'm definitely disappointed. I wasn't surprised, but I was definitely disappointed. But anyway, he also said, when you're given so many chances to just change the outcome and you just can't fully grasp it, it hurts. But we know those division games are the tough ones. Everybody needs to work on the jugs this week. 100 catches a day till game day, because drop passes and drop picks really hurt us bad. Today, we also seen Super Duper Kyle look human. Team Keep It Clean and Flock Nation, don't bash him, or be disappointed. He's good for more than what we saw today. Every player has a bad game. We need a dominant pass rush. Oh, let's start with that with Kyle Hamilton. Yeah, that Kyle Hamilton is actually one of the defensive players that showed up the most in yesterday's game. Now, I know, I think, obviously, given the situation that it was, it makes Kyle Hamilton drop interception look 20 million times worse for a couple of different reasons. One, the Ravens had already dropped like 50 interceptions in that game. So when they dropped that 51st one and it was him, it was like, oh. But then it was the timing of it, because had he caught that interception and the Ravens get a first down, then the game is over. And even if the Ravens don't get a first down, you take over. Your offense gets the ball. Y'all get to run out some clock. And then worst case scenario, you punt to the Browns, but they have the ball way back in their own field position. So that's why that drop interception hurt so much. But Kyle Hamilton, he was really one of the only ones to show up in yesterday's game, if we're going to be honest about it. He really was. So, yeah, the drop pick, it sucks. It really does. Does not make Kyle Hamilton a bad player. It really doesn't. And got to use that same logic for somebody else. But anyway, he said, we need a dominant pass rusher or just a disruptive guy. I thought we had it already, but without pressures, it's no way our secondary gets helped out. Do you think we will actually make that move? Yeah, Baltimore Ravens, they tend to really be defense-focused, especially when it comes to trade, except for last year. Again, last year, they tried to trade for Derrick Henry, and they had everything lined up, but the Titans said nope at the last second. But this year, I could see them doing that again, like going for an edge guy. But who would it be? Would it be Za'Darius Smith after he done did? Maybe that's why he did the Ray Lewis dance yesterday. Maybe because he did the Ray Lewis dance because he knew that he was on the way to Baltimore soon. Next question came from my guy, Brian. He said, the positive is we were probably destined to split with the Browns anyways. Okay, so look at that. We're taking a positive from it. I like that. He said, the negative is we let the Browns hang almost 30 points. So yeah. He said, Eddie Jackson is bad. We got $18.7 million going to Marcus Williams on the bench, or isn't improving. If we don't make a big splash at the trade deadline, I think John and EDC have pretty much sealed a Chiefs 3-peat. Oof, wow. Some powerful words right there. And John Harbaugh was actually asked about Marcus Williams and him being benched and, like, what was going on with that. And I didn't even know. I guess I hadn't seen it yesterday because I don't watch the post-game pressers from the Ravens, because we'd be doing our post-game reaction on Bleacher Report. But Eddie Jackson said that him and Ardarius Washington, they found out during the week that they were going to be the starters at safety. I said, oh, okay. So this was something that they really knew going in. I guess maybe for injury's sake, maybe that's why they didn't just make Marcus Williams inactive, because obviously that his roster spot could have gone to somebody else. Or maybe it was that that competitive edge, because you know John Harbaugh don't like giving nothing away. Maybe he was like, you know what, if we make him inactive, then they're going to be playing us different and whatnot, even though, I mean, it didn't really matter. But he also talked about, Harbaugh said that it was a personnel decision when it came to benching Marcus Williams. He said, we're kind of working through some things there. I feel very confident that Marcus is going to be out there playing great football for the rest of the season. And he called it an internal type of situation. I was like, He also said, Marcus is a heck of a player. I have the utmost confidence in him as a player, a person, and a pro. He plays hard, practices hard. I anticipate him playing great football for us all season and very soon. So, and then Harbaugh also got a little snappy. And this came from the press conference today. He said that with Marcus Williams, there's a lot of things going on all the time, and a lot of it's our business. And there's some things that we choose to keep to ourselves, and that's going to be one of them. So, something weird happening with Marcus Williams. I guess, look, with John Harbaugh, he be trying to get these Marcus players from NFC teams. He got Marcus Peters from the Rams. It worked out. First couple years, then, after Marcus Peters went off of him on him after the Ravens lost to, I think it was the Bills, that was the beginning of the end. And now Marcus Williams, apparently, they're saying that he might have said some comments and whatnot, rub Harbaugh the wrong way, maybe in the doghouse right now. Who knows? I have no clue, but could it be the beginning of the end? I mean, like you mentioned, the Ravens got 18.7 million reasons, but this is why it probably won't be the end this year, at least, because Brian McFarland, Ravens salary cap, who knows all the ins and outs about the Ravens, their money, he said the following. He said, Marcus Williams' salary is now guaranteed. It's guaranteed. So he getting paid his salary no matter what. But he says, so nothing can be done this year. This offseason, if they cut him with a pre-June 1st designation, they would save $5.2 million in cap savings while carrying $13.4 million in dead money. And he said a post-June 1st release would free up $12 million in cap space, but there would be $6.7 million in dead money in both 2025 and 2026. So, you know, it's funny, during the stream, I was wondering what the, because when I first noticed that Marcus Williams was benched, I said, does this mean what I think it could possibly mean? But I was wondering what the potential salary cap implications were. Glad we got Brian McFarlane, and he's always willing and able to clear that stuff up for us. He also said, Brian, my guy Brian, he said, love you and your channel, bud. Hope your family has a good night. And hashtag team keep it clean. So he was like, look, man, I've been going off on these Ravens players, but let me end this off on a positive note. I appreciate that, Brian. Thank you. Next question came from another Team Keep It Clean patron. I told y'all, this is the episode where we featuring all the questions from our Team Keep It Clean patrons. My guy Plex, he said, I've seen this show before. It's like my TV is stuck on MTV and Ridiculousness is being played over and over. Oh my goodness. You go to a hotel, that they play that all the time. You, like you said, on MTV, they play it all the time. That show is just, I could watch like a couple of minutes of it. Then I can't watch it no more. It's like, oh, okay, this is, anyway. He said, another finally coached game from Harbaugh. Was it his fault we dropped 4 interceptions? No. Was it his fault we failed to convert on 3rd down many times? No. Was it his fault we ran a direct snap with Henry? No. Was it his fault that JT missed the field goal? No. Was it his fault Lamar missed Zay on a deep pass? No. Was it his fault this team was not prepared to play? Yes. All those no's came from him, by the way. I wasn't answering for it. Those all came from him. Those were all in his question. He said, and that is the problem. This team is its own biggest threat. I could smell the L coming. A road game against a 1-6 division opponent that's playing his 3rd-string quarterback. It is what it is at this point. We weren't meant to win this game. We didn't make any play. We needed to come away with the win. It'd be like that sometimes. Kyle dropping that interception sealed the L. When he dropped it, I knew it wasn't meant to be. He was the only one that showed up defensively, so I'm not mad at him at all. See, that's what I was talking about earlier. Kyle Hamilton, he came to play yesterday. He really did. Anyway, he said, he said pass rush was non-existent. That's been a theme with the Ravens recently. Did Roquan play? He's a secondary, might as well have had me out there. It wouldn't have been any worse. Marcus Williams should demand the trade. It's not him, and this game was proof of that. Eddie Jackson is horrible. I know if Marcus was in the situations Eddie was in today, he at minimum makes one play. Jameis put Eddie in a fish fry. Oh, that sounds really good, by the way. Anyway, he says, Zach Orr and whoever the DB coach is, gotta go. I gave Zach half the season, and there's been no improvement. We've gotten cooked against 7 of the 8 QBs we faced. The middle of the field is always open. It is. DBs refuse to turn their head around. It doesn't matter who we've had in or out. The results have been the same every week. I don't know what's the point of bringing in Dean Pease or what the point of bringing him in was when he retired in 2017 before getting fired and took a job a month later in Tennessee. You brought in someone who was struggling before he left to help someone who is struggling now, and it looks like the Spider-Man meme. He said, I knew we weren't going to go the rest of the season without a loss, but I hope we wouldn't have the same type of loss that we've been suffering from for the past umpteen years. That's real. There is literally... What can I even respond to that? What can I say to that? Yeah, because it's true. He said everything. It's been the same thing for years. Ravens could look like this powerful, all-world, dominant team. Oh, man, they could be the best team in the league. Then they go out and do stuff like this. And, again, it's sad because it's not surprising. And it's expected that they do stuff like this because they always do stuff like this. He also said, furthermore, our special teams are terrible. Can't kick, can't punt, can't return kicks, can't recover onside kicks. Isn't our head coach a specialist in this department? If he can't get that unit to run properly, what good is he? Chris Collier doesn't need to... He said Chris Collier doesn't need to return anything. Get someone back there with some speed and shiftiness. Now, I was saying about Chris Collier that I feel like they got him back there because he's safe. Because he obviously don't fumble the ball. And he be getting hit. He be taking some hits back there. But he don't fumble the ball. So that's a good thing. But I feel like he doesn't give you the best potential opportunity for a good kick return. But I think they just got him back there because he's safe. But is playing it safe worth it? Gotta ask John Harbaugh. I owe Ravens fans an apology. Next question came from my guy Morton. He said, I owe Ravens fans an apology. I said I liked our guys in the wide receiver room. Hey, I told you, I know that you really are John Harbaugh. You ain't nothing but a John Harbaugh burner. So I appreciate you being a patron, John Harbaugh. Thank you. And I be telling Team Keep It Clean that I know y'all Ravens be watching this stuff. Y'all be watching their comments. Y'all be watching their live streams and be seeing everything that Team Keep It Clean got to say. I already know. So you ain't got to tell me, man. So John Harbaugh, I know it's you. Listen up to see what my guy Martin had to, well, my guy John Harbaugh had to say. He said, I owe Ravens fans an apology. I said I liked our guys in the wide receiver room, the Nelson and Bateman. He said, then Nelson and Bateman do this. My apologies, guys, but I still think we need to improve in the secondary somehow. He said, hey, man, how can just about every quarterback have their best game against us? QB and wide receiver look at the schedule, and they jump up and down with excitement like it's Christmas. They know they're about to have a huge day, especially on third down. Guys are going to be as wide open as you have ever seen. While Eddie Jackson wasn't better, I like that the Ravens benched Marcus Williams to send a message that they aren't playing around and guys need to step up. Just because you're getting paid don't mean you get a pass. And yeah, I was surprised that they benched Marcus Williams. And because of that right there with what you just said, just because guys are getting paid doesn't mean they get a pass. I was surprised you did that, John Harbaugh, because I know I'm reading an email from you, John Harbaugh, but I'm gonna keep reading your email, John Harbaugh. Martin, that's your fake alias, John. That's okay. Anyway, he said, I know you said you're not excusing Zach Orr because Marlon and Nate were, but was willing to give a pass because of that. And I would agree with you, except that weeks 1 through 7 were the exact same thing. Yeah, that's what I said. I said with Zach Orr, I know a lot of Ravens fans would not want to hear it, but I would give him a pass for that game only. For this past game against the Browns, I would give him a pass for that only, because he was missing Marlon Humphrey. He was missing Nate Wiggins. Michael Pierce left with injury. Travis Jones is still hurt. Brent Urban, he left with injury. So you're dealing with some of that stuff. But yeah, overall, there ain't no excuses. Overall. But anyway, continuing, he said, I don't understand why on third and fourth down the defense can stop. They can't stop anything. The only way for this defense to get a stop is they got to go for a turnover every drive. Shaking my head. I don't know, man. I don't think anything is going to fix this defense. Zach Orr isn't going anywhere. And even if the Ravens trade for someone, that might not fix anything. All I can do is root for the guys out there and hope that they figure it out somehow. Yeah, somehow. Ravens, they like to play far back in those critical situations. Like third and short, you'll see the cornerback playing way back. Way back. And it's like, what is going on? Even though, like, you saw it throughout really the whole game yesterday. When it was third down, it was like, oh, boy, here we go. And Ravens, this has been an all-year thing for the most part. It'll be first down, yeah, let's go, Ravens. Second down, yeah, let's go, Ravens. Third down, it's like, uh-oh. That same confidence is not really there all the time on defense. It certainly isn't. Because it's just been repeat issue after issue after issue. It's been the same thing. So how can it get fixed? I don't even know at this point. These next questions came from my guy, Jarvo. He says, so here are some reasons we are destined to go and possibly win the Super Bowl. Now, he it's October 28th. He sent this on October 26th. But we got some other questions from him that came after the game. So let's get into this first. He said, what is our QB's first name? It's Lamar. He said, what is King Henry's middle name? It's Lamar. He said, who is performing in the Super Bowl this year? It's Kendrick Lamar. He said, Ravens had been to and won the Super Bowl every 12 years since our first one. That's true. He says, this is Super Bowl 59 right now, and Lamar will be 28 next year, and the King will be 31 next year. And what's 28 plus 31? Ooh, I like that. I like that. So, hey. He said, and number 6, we won our last Super Bowl where? It was in New Orleans. And he says, some facts I saw some Ravens fans post up that I thought were very, very interesting. Hey, and we hope that it ends up going just like that. Now, you see, that was his question before the game yesterday. Listen to his question after. Defense lacks that fire and passion. Nobody on our defense can catch a football. You're such awful. He wasn't so happy then. He also said, Eddie Jackson, he sent this screenshot from Jeff Zrebic reporting. Safety Eddie Jackson said reportedly that Ravens are in a funk. Took responsibility for his role in it as far as the missed interceptions and the winning touchdown. Kyle Hamilton and Roquan Smith were gone from the locker room before the media was in, but the defense didn't think communication was an issue. Other things were. That right there, I did see that yesterday. Kyle Hamilton and Roquan Smith, they just cleared it. They said, nope, we out. Not talking to the media, nope. So, and that's tricky because you could look at it in two different ways, in my opinion. You could look at it like, oh, man, these are supposed to be our leaders. Why aren't they talking to the media? They need to speak up. Don't run from these questions. And I get that. Or you could look at it like, man, they were just disgusted with themselves. They were heated. They were upset. They were mad. They were furious. And they ain't want to talk to nobody. And maybe they were actually saving the reporters from them lashing out on them, taking it out on them when they would just be asking questions. So you can look at it like that, too. And that would be their passion just for the game just coming through. So it all just depends on what side you look at it from. He also said, Super Bowl contending teams always seem to make moves to make their teams even better. Look at the Bills, the Chiefs, the Eagles, and even the Jets, how they, he said, who are no longer contenders. But yet we stay put, thinking our team is just fine as is. I'm pretty sure the Lions will make moves, even though they average in 40 points a game. But all we're going to hear is the Ravens made a call or came close to getting this player. Give our offense more threats, and even though Orr is horrible, get him some defensive playmakers on the outside and safety who can catch and cause turnovers. Orr isn't responsible for those 100 missed catches on Sunday, and I'm not even mad at Kyle for his drop pass because he does so much for us. We should have played Marcus Williams and benched Eddie for Kane or Braid. See, I wouldn't be mad at that at all. If like earlier this season, there were some fans saying that earlier this season, but I was like, no, you can't do that. Like, you got Eddie Jackson, hope that he turns it around. Hope Marcus Williams turns around. Hope that secondary, you can't bench them or even just Eddie Jackson for an undrafted rookie free agent or 6 or 7 round pick. You can't do that. But now, I ain't opposed to it at all.